Super Speedway and on the track again, driven by Richard Childress. All three of the fans, you can see by the reaction.
Ready, go.
Welcome back, race fans. Episode 15, Left is Right Pod. What's going on? I think we got a decent show here today. Hot and sticky down in Nashville. It's a big story there. You know, forget about Larson and winning the race and all that. But Melon Man coming in second place. And then I'm going to share a little story time about my father's RV as we as NASCAR turns its attention to Pocono for a doubleheader this weekend. And we'll see what other crazy nonsense we get into. But first things first, let's go around the horn. Mr. Messina, what's going on, buddy?
Hello, folks. Good afternoon, good evening, race fans. And thanks for joining us again for another Left is Right Pod where we ramble on about things we want to talk about. And this week, it doesn't look like my brother has joined us, even though he is 3-for-3 with his weather forecast. So that's always a very, very good thing. So,
which means we're in trouble this weekend.
Which means it's going to effing downpour. No, but all the rain
is going to rain.
All the rain's going to be in Michigan this weekend. If you've seen the weather, Brent. But
oh yes, yeah, I know.
And I'll be headed. So I will be in the area of Pocono for the race, but unfortunately, ain't in the cards this year. But what's up, Brent P? What do
you
think, buddy?
You know, it's a beautiful night in the neighborhood. I am. Nashville put on a better show than I expected, so I'm really happy about that. It did what I hoped it would do as far as made some teams struggle with, I think, issues that they didn't expect to have.
self-induced problems.
Hey guys, so, and this is a question I think for you, Matt, because I was thinking about this the whole entire time. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but
let's go.
Race.
But you do.
But we're gonna do it anyways. I was unaware, in my naiveness to a lot of the NASCAR options, things they can do. They have smaller brakes, smaller and larger brakes they can run on these cars. Or is it just pad compounds?
I think they're relegated to how big they can be.
Okay.
I don't know if they're relegated to how small they can be.
Well, they were fully inadequate last week.
The brake rotors exploding make you say that, or what was
it? I think my favorite thing was, like, even the broadcast was like, watch this pit stop, watch when they pull this front wheel off, the buckets of brake dust that come out of the thing. I'm like, that's an entire brake pad lining's worth right there. Just amazing. Yeah, the guys, they definitely underestimated how much braking zone this track would have. I think, Adam, you commented about the track being slick, I think, early on the weekend, maybe during the Xfinity race, but it turned into good racing. It rubbered up. It had 2-3 wide a lot. Yep. I liked it. It put on a good show. You don't need a lot of high grip to have a good show, it seems.
Also, they didn't put the PJ1 down. They put the resin, which I've never heard of. This was newfangled terminology here for me when they're talking about resin. Yep. I think, or you guys said it on Friday night, maybe when you were watching the when we recorded the last episode, you guys were together watching the cup race and you were talking about this resin, I think. Then
I knew nothing about it. I know PJ1 is for drag racing. I don't know what resin is used for outside of NASCAR.
I don't know what it's used for, but I found something on the internet from, you know, sources.
They can't put anything on the internet that isn't true.
Exactly. No. So it's highly unlikely that this is incorrect information. And unless the internet says that the resin is for accelerating tire wear, but accelerating the track rubbering up. So I guess it would increase tire wear maybe early on. But what that allowed to do then is to get rubber in a wider area. And, you know, you talked about the 2-3 wide. The groove got big, I think,
sure,
in the Xfinity race, especially, uh-huh. And then just held true for Sunday.
Yeah, that might actually even be a better approach. And maybe that is something that's concrete specific, that resin is something that's maybe not as beneficial or useful or even possible, able to use on an asphalt surface. But I like the
improve the rubbering up situation better than let's just add traction to the surface where we feel like it. Like the PJ1 where the guys were like trying to dance with that line of artificial traction, if you will.
Yeah. It seemed more natural and it gave you the ability to like drive the car.
Yeah. Yep. Were, I definitely think, the cornering speeds were lower than the teams expected. And that's really what led to the break. You know, these guys were having to get on the brakes a lot more to slow the car down in the corners than I think they prepared for. Whether it's a pad compound choice, I'm sure they can do pad compound choices because you got these, you know, pad compounds that are designed for tracks with serious braking zones are designed to be running at a very high temperature all the time. You run that pad at a super speedway and you're not going to get the car stopped coming to pit road because those pads are stone cold. They won't slow the car down as well. So they'll play with that temperature range, but if they put a pad on these things, it's too cold or designed to run too cold and they run too hot, they just eat them. And that's what it looked like they were doing, whether it had anything to do with the size of the brake package. We'll have to do some research on that. Maybe somebody will actually call in and tell us how stupid we
please,
are.
Please educate us on what
the brake packages are. Yeah, but I mean, we've seen plenty of short track racing and had this situation.
Sorry, Brent.
Oh, sorry.
Cut you off.
What did you say, Matt?
I was saying, to the point where rotors were exploding. That's how bad we missed this brake thing.
Like, it was exploding rotors. Yeah, I don't remember seeing that, but so, you know.
It was three or four cars that did it, and it put so much debris on the track that they were losing tires left and right. Not Quinn Huff's tire falling off on the first lap, just actual tire problems.
You know? Pretty entertaining. Yeah. Blaney.
The Cat 12 car.
Little what do you want to call it? The picture or the picture for the recap shows Blaney's car in the wall, and I'm pretty sure he exploded a rotor prior to doing that.
Wow, okay.
Fence missed it.
It's his car in the wall. So yeah, they in the booth said, yeah, it looked like I saw a piece of something fly off before it sent into the fence. But
do brake rotors explode? Like, oh my, Bubba's above his windshield got hit.
Yeah.
With the debris from the brake rotors.
That's amazing. Last time I saw a brake rotor explode, I was watching a SCCA Formula, I think it was a Formula Atlantic race at Daytona on the road course from the infield. It's a little like sub 2,000 pound open wheel car, and it exploded a right front rotor going into the bus stop. Threw this freaking car into the outside wall because it when the brake rotor broke, it locked up the right front and just chucked the thing in the wall. That guy did not have a good day.
No, that's we'll tag that one up to bad days, man. I don't.
Bad days, yes. Thermal shock.
Funny part is, every time we talk about brakes in NASCAR in this show, there's been a severe incident, right? So like the last brake story that came to play here is when Sauter creamed that stationary truck in Charlotte, and brake rotor, you know, came off in whole form. And hit the top of Nemechek's truck right above the windshield and put a nice dent in it.
That was amazing. That son of a bitch would have gone through the windshield if it was lower. I mean, I highly doubt those windshields could handle a brake rotor at speed. Would have been like would have been like the movie Men in was it Men in Black? No.
Come on, Brent.
Smith movie. The guy that gets his head cut off in the opening scene. I can't.
The guy gets his head cut off in the opening scene. Oh, what kind of movie are we talking?
It was sort of a western-ish movie. Dude gets his head cut off by a magnetic seeking saw blade, the opening scene of the movie. He's running through a cornfield. I don't know why I can't think of it. It's killing me now.
Is it one of those what were those movies they were doing for a while? A whole sequence of them.
Saw movies? No,
where the people were involved in an accident and then they started dying off one by one. Oh, what movie is that?
I'm not good at this
it
stuff.
It might be this 1999 movie called Wild Wild West, but I'm not actually sure.
Wild Wild West with Will Smith?
Yeah, the opening scene. Dude gets
good song. Wild Wild West. Down. I know that one.
It made $222 million. The box office.
That was the height of Big Willie's rap career.
Well, that is Miami Town, Party in the City when the heat is on. You know,
That's what I'm saying. That was the height. That was like that was it. That was it.
I remember McDonald's having toys for that movie, for the Wild West movie, and I was pumped to get go to. I'm like, this is gonna be awesome.
You realize we took that from Break Rotors to Will Smith.
It's fine.
but that rotor spinning rotor reminded me of the spinning saw blade in the opening sequence of that movie. Sorry,
nice.
I made a pretty big leap there.
It's all right. Right turns on this podcast instead of just left. It's all right.
You know. People's heads falling off.
Got to keep it good.
We got any money?
But yeah, I was, you know, Nashville in general. I mean, I've heard some issues with fans getting into the speedway, running out of water. I mean, they must have had the Ford Field concession employees in place there, or they ran out of water, just like they ran out of beer when we went to that Supercross race.
Oh my God, that's a great story. So we walk up to the, we get in after waiting, right? We only went for the main event, if I remember, right? Walk into the stadium, and we walk right up to the concession stand, right? And we're like, can we get four beers, please? And they're like, we're out of beer. I'm like, no, four beers. they're out, we're out. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, look around. We're in Ford Field, right? This isn't, you know, Jack in the Box around the corner. Like,
yeah. And we drank water. Well,
it was fine.
Well, yeah, it sounded like it was a hot one, but a lot of fans, which is good. And I like my racing impression was almost at times like Darlington, like guys, sliding, especially in the early beginning there of the cup race. I mean, geez. I think Kyle was out front there a little bit in the beginning, and he was sliding all over the place. I mean, but everybody was.
God, he had the worst car ever, worst car in the world.
Because they were running, on the high horsepower, low downforce package, right?
They were the 850, buddy, or 7, whatever it is, 750, 850.
Yeah, those things are pretty good racing usually.
Yeah, I hope if they're gonna do anything, like if they're gonna change the horsepower, you know, and they're gonna lower it, whatever, and cap it at one size, with the new car, then that's fine. But we definitely need to, take mechanical grip out of it. I feel like
the sliding, yep. make them drive the car.
That's what I mean.
You know, make these dudes drive the car. And they love doing it. It's not like they don't like doing it, right? So, get out the power.
That was racing. That was racing on Sunday. You know, that, to me, that was it. That was not the traditional, you know, Vegas or other, you know, mile and a half boring situation. You know what I mean?
Buddy, I'm with you 100%. There was fuel stuff at the end. But it was to the point where, you know, we could have had a first time winner in the Cup Series, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was up there messing around up there. It's awesome. It's mm-hmm. Ross Chastain. But
oh, yeah,
I thought Larson was going to run out of fuel at the end. He was 63-64 laps into that.
I don't think he had it either. I thought he was done. The way Moody was calling the race, I'm like, oh boy, he's gonna run out. Melon Man's gonna take it home.
But yeah, big report on the penalty though, right? So Chase Elliott comes home with five loose lugs and gets disqualified from his 13th place finish.
So what happened to you guys? You got disqued. We all finished in the top five. Oh,
that's amazing. I kind of chuckle every time I read the news. Yep, such and so and so got a $10,000 fine for a loose lug nut. This guy's crew chief is out next week for two loose lug nuts. I'm glad that we're gonna be done with that stuff next year. There won't be any of it.
Playing games. You know? That's it.
Can't play no games. Left it loose. I mean, wheel's gonna come off. You're done.
Well, you can. You pay the price.
They almost ran the risk, though. It sounds like they knew. Sounds like they knew they had at least one or two.
He was shaking, he was saying, right? He was vibrating.
Yeah. And they just made the choice. They made the conscious choice to stay out. You know.
Yeah.
It sounds like instead of, because there was somebody that pitted at the end there,
for
to be able to make it to the end. I forget who it was.
It was a fuel.
Maybe thing. It was. I think it was a fuel thing, probably. You know, but it's just, that's the same thing, yeah. Right? You know, but Chase, but you know, go for broke, right? I mean, they have a win, and clearly the Hendrick cars are.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fine.
Now they know they can't do that again.
Yeah, right. Five's too many.
We found a line, boys. Found a limit. Yep.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see. It's all outlined. Not that we would ever know because they don't share their rule book, but there's like how many lugs and how many penalties, right? There's like a whole thing. But
yeah, I'd be curious to see how many wheels we see coming off next year with these things.
Oh, God.
Only got one shot.
I think Morbid Brint's going to be the coming off thing after like a quick pit stop. Like kind of what the F1 guys went through, the Mercedes guy, where they had to use a cutoff wheel to get the wheel off. I think it's going to be some of that.
Right.
They're going to go back out until that tire blows, you know?
Yeah, you got to be really careful. Those big, you know, large diameter fasteners. I thought I remember, I think maybe they've changed the spindles on the F1 cars, but I remember watching older stuff where the guys would, they'd have to turn the socket couple times by hand before they hit it with the gun just to make sure it was threading on, otherwise they'd cross quite many times. So like that, yeah, I'd be curious. Like you said, we're gonna have guys making their own threads and seriously regretting it.
But everybody's gonna be dealing with it, right? It isn't like it's just a couple cars, it's a level playing field. Everyone's got the same problem
at the same time, right? No one's learning, so no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. At least fun to watch. It's going to suck for the guy doing it.
Yeah.
Time to earn your money, right?
Yep.
The guy who figures it out first is going to get paid.
I'm
going to go out
right now. What do you guys use for air guns these days? What is this F1 doing? Haas might have the advantage, you know?
Yeah.
I know what Haas, I hate to say it, Rick Ware Racing with their successful Indy program, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, Penske has that. Too, right? Especially, you know.
Why did that come first to mind? Oh my god.
But yeah, I'm sure they'll draw on their experiences from their affiliations and stuff like that. So for sure, they'll figure it out. I mean, these guys don't know what to do.
Listen, it doesn't. You know, we only learn for so long until we figure it out, right? So.
Yep. So yeah, I was excited. I thought maybe Ross could come away with it, you know. And but I'm thinking maybe like since now he sniffed second place, like maybe somebody needs to like put a statement out there, like you know about like if Ross wins, you know what's Ross gonna do for the people, right? Like you know state of North Carolina gets free watermelons or something like that. I don't know.
Oh my God, dude! Oh. He wins a Pocono.
Free melons for everybody.
Melons for the Poconos. Load them up.
You get a melon. You get a melon. Oh, you get a melon.
Oh, God.
The only thing about Nashville, does everybody remember who they picked?
No.
I can make a stab at it. I know who I picked. I think I know who Brent picked.
I think you Truex.
I might get this off of memory. So let me just. So ooh,
here you go.
I had Joey for a win, which obviously he did not win. He came in. He came in 11th outside the top 10. I had Tyler Reddick as my dark horse.
You did.
He came in 18th, unfortunately. And LaJoy is my care center finished better than Reddick.
They didn't mention it once on the broadcast, so it wasn't really many waves. No.
Brent, you picked Truex.
I did pick Truex. Yep. He did not do well. He finished 22nd.
Yeah, dude. He wasn't anything all week. all evening or at all races, though.
Yeah,
I know you picked Joey for your care center.
Yep.
But I don't remember who you picked for your dark horse now.
I don't either. You know what? I think I may have picked the number 51 car as my dark horse.
You did, because
Mr. Yaley.
Because you had a, Yaley. A sub driver. Yeah.
27.
Yeah. And he finished in 27th. Pretty good, but Balicki won up them and finished in 26th in the 52 brickware car.
Man.
Freaking 50 somethings are breaking into the 20s.
He's like, we gotta start worrying about charters here pretty soon, boys. We better start some ringers.
We better put somebody else in the car.
Yeah. Anybody gets a shot. Get one shot.
And Matt, gosh.
But I don't know. Honestly, I have no clue.
You gotta at least remember who you picked to win, Matt.
I know, Brent. hold on, let me look at my pass card. I did my picks. My online picks.
I haven't been doing that.
I'm still trying to. Sprint was kicking our asses, so we stopped doing it. I just forgot.
Yep.
We can restart it in the playoffs. How's that sound?
That's fine.
Reset the playing field.
Good idea. It's a good idea.
Needed, let's see. The ally. Let's see who I picked. Is there someone weird that we know who I picked?
Did you pick Bowman or something like that?
I did. I took Bowman.
Bowman finishing 14th.
Yeah. I took Kyle Larson for second just because that's what I always do. It's an instant 50 points.
That's true.
I probably took Matty D. I think I took Matty D as my dark horse, and I took Larson as my care center. That's what I did.
Okay.
Well, Larson was DQ'd, so, you know, you're not far off. Or no, I'm sorry. No, you said Elliott for your Christmas.
Elliott was DQ'd, yeah.
Not yet. Wait till they find something wrong with that car in the future, but.
Yeah, man. Larson hasn't been DQ'd yet. When he does, it'll be like fucking world's going to melt down.
Jesus. Got that big Valvoline sponsorship?
Yeah. Gosh. Got that money now coming in hot.
Looks like, yeah. I knew it came off.
Yeah, you know, that was a good bet. I mean, it's worked out.
Whole country knew it, right? But no one else was willing to do it, and Hendrick was, so good for him.
Yeah, he made it work, and that's what people in those positions can do, those types of things. And last week we kind of talked about Larson, like how good is he versus how good is the equipment. I don't know where I heard this. It might have been from one of the podcasts, other podcasts, right? Juniors or DBC, but they were talking about if you stick Larson in a Rick Ware car, where would he finish? That's that same conversation. Like if I go to the other end of the equipment spectrum from Hendrick at this point, and you put a guy like Larson in that car, does he finish as good as Balicki and Yaley did this week? You know, in the high 20s, which has got to be a good result, or the one of the best results for Rick Ware all year.
They had champagne for them boys, you know.
I feel like Larson gets top 20, possibly top 15 in darn near whatever you stick him in, but I'll say top 20 in a Rick Ware car.
Top 20. I think it would be similar to the Ganassi ride where he did win races, right?
Yeah, I mean, Larson really, you know, back in the Ganassi days, he only had one, like, great year.
True.
And that was good. That was, like, probably, what, 5 or 6 years ago now? And then every other year he won, like, a race, right? Like, it wasn't multiple races. But
no, not like this, dude. This is something else. So we haven't seen this before in recent years.
I mean, this year, man, he could easily have more wins than he does. I mean, we all know at this point he's the world's greatest second place finisher.
It's scary, man. It brings a question up. Are they doing silly things, right? What are they doing? Yeah. And if they are, why are they tipping their hand so early? Unless now Larson will go quiet because he's got his big sponsorship and they'll just win it in the championship, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Just keep running it out there. If they're not doing anything illegal, then, you know, who's going to step up and beat him?
True. That's their come get me type of stuff, right? I'm with you there.
Yeah. I mean, these old, you know, these old white guy race owners, you know, just, you know, who's got the bigger one, you know, that's pretty much how it rolls. That's they take guys and measure themselves up.
Oh my God. I'm not even going to say what I was thinking. It was so bad. Yeah.
But anyway, Pocono.
Good old Pocono, up in the Poconos.
So we're going to the, they're going to the Poconos this weekend. Back to my stomping grounds. Back to where it all began.
That's where you saw your first race, right?
This is where I saw my first race. You know, until the only other, when it would have been my first, Dover would have been the first time I went to Dover would have been my first race, not at Pocono, and then Michigan a couple times. And then Richmond. I mean, those are really, and then Talladega, right? When we went last year. So that's really, those are the only tracks I've ever been to. But yeah, Pocono. So you guys want to hear camper stories, I guess.
So
series of campers, yeah, right?
There has been a few campers and a few stories. So,
yeah. So my dad being the big Mopar guy, right? Former general manager and vice president of an automotive group with a Chrysler Jeep Dodge franchise license. Let's see, when did he acquire this bad boy? This would have been when, I mean, you remember the OG Dodge Stratuses and like Plymouth Breezes? They were the same, car.
Yeah, the Mitsubishis, yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it would have been a Mitsubishi, right? So these would have been, this would have had to been like late 90s. Like 98,
99. Late 90s. They were opening two parts. So, right about there.
Yeah. So that's probably, that's about when my dad acquired this. So his first RV. So I'll describe it.
Was it a trade-in?
What's that?
Was it a trade-in at the dealership?
No, this was a private party purchase as far as I know. I was pretty young. Yeah. You know, so I would have been, maybe if it was in 98, I'd have been 10 years old, but I think it might have been a year or two before that. So I wasn't 10 yet when he acquired this. So, you know, I didn't have much car knowledge at the time. But anyway, 1977 Pacero dually, right? It's a dually, big block gas engine, and it's white paneling, okay? So this is the 70s. All right, so it's that white like camper style paneling that's even out the cheap stuff that's out there today, you know, and white with a red stripe that kind of gets larger as it goes towards the back, very like 57 Chevy-esque, like the way it fans out, the you know, the accent color, and it had shag carpet, red and black shag carpet.
Red and black?
You gotta have shag carpet. 70s.
Yeah, it's the '70s, dude. I mean, this thing was top notch, you know. You know? So red and black shag carpet. It was like a mid-entry rig. So you walk in, straight ahead is the kitchen. And you know, to the right there's the booth, you know, for the kitchen table. And then there's a bench in front of that that's like the passenger seat that can fit two people. And then it's, you know, the engine hump is there, right? So the floor actually steps up real tall. And then the driver's seat, okay? Yeah. So it's like red leather dash. Red leather, like race red leather.
Strip of red interior, right?
Could you imagine walking up to that thing back and being like, bud, it's got a red dash. This is the one we need. You know, this is the one.
It was mint. I mean, when he bought it, it had like, we're talking like only a couple thousand miles.
In the
garage kept.
Sat around. A what?
It was garage kept. Only a couple thousand miles on it, okay? If you think it's mint, it's mint. and you know, wood cabinetry going through the back. And then, so if you, when you walked in that door and you turned left, there was, you know, a long like bench type couch that would pull out, but not like couches from the newer one that you guys know. It wasn't like that. But then you got the bathroom closet, and then in the back, it was dual beds. They weren't bunk beds, but they kind of slid out from the side towards the middle. So there was like probably two queen size beds kind of situation. So
not much, not much privacy going on in the back.
Not really. It had like a plastic wood grain sliding door thing like that folded.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, the shag carpet was everywhere, even in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
The refrigerator, the paneling, the cloth paneling on the front of the refrigerator matched the seats, okay, oh, which was like this, like, orange, army green, yellow, and red pattern.
Crushed velvet.
It was
velvet.
Like diamonds. It wasn't crushed velvet. Unfortunately, that would have been cool. That would have been really cool. but it was like this diamond stitch on the refrigerator.
Classy
I don't ever remember the appliances working. Let's just put it that way.
Well,
I don't have any memory of that, which is kind of just the way it goes with my dad and RVs through the years. But so anyway, that's my first experience, is this RV. We go there in the early 2000s to Pocono, my first event. It's me, my dad, my uncle, and his son, who is same age as me, right? So it's the four of us, and you know, they're involved in the dealership too, right? So you know, it's racing. So we go. My dad gets cold passes for the pit, so we could walk on pit road and in like the fan area, kind of like we did at Talladega. You know, it was kind of like that without being able to walk into the garage. They didn't have that kind of stuff, but you could walk. You could walk on pit road pre-race and stuff. So we did that. But the RV, right? So we're, I mean, you know, you, Matt, we're in the pre-show, we're talking a little bit about, you know, camping being sold out at Pocono this year. So,
yeah,
my first experience there was, I mean, the infield was packed. I mean, like, it was tough to find a spot. You know, you had to nestle this, you know, 30 foot, 70 shaggin wagon somewhere. You know, so we do all that stuff in the morning. We get up on the roof, and that's kind of my first experience. Is my, you know, the roof's bowed. It's bowed in towards the air conditioners. And all I really remember was my dad saying, like, you know, don't walk near the air conditioners. You know, like, just stay to the outside.
This is Ocean speaking. Yes. Conditioners.
Yep. It was soft. Right.
And you're like nine? Was, you're like 10?
Yeah, it'd have been like, yeah, it'd have been like, well, this was early 2000s, so yeah, it would have been a little bit older from when he first. Okay. He had it for a while at this point. We'd have taken it on many a summer trips already. It's been proven, right? We drove it to Maine. We drove it to South Carolina, up and down different parts of the East Coast already. So it's got some miles on it. And but anyway, and like it was packed. I mean, like the. What I really remember from the race is more of like the extracurricular activities that are going on the track. And maybe this is why, like, that's a part of NASCAR for me at this point, is like all the shit that goes on, you know, like why I was so excited about Talladega. Cause I felt like it might take me back to that time period of my life, even though I wasn't able to partake back then. But there were like, it had just rained the day before. And at Pocono, it rains at some point during the race. Like if you're camping or hanging out in turn one, like we were, you can see the rain in turn three, but it's sunny in turn one. I mean, it's freaking huge place. It's massive. It's a massive facility. But you know, it's on the par of like, it feels size wise, Brent, like to Talladega. I mean, it has that massive allure, just not all the other stuff. It's you know, wilderness kind of. It's not built up like that. But
Poconos.
Yeah, it's the Poconos. But anyway, it's $50 a head to get in back then, you know. So they just like, you go up to the tunnel and they come in the RV and like, how many you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you know, $250. There you go.
We did that.
But anyway,
wild. Yeah.
Yep. So all I remember is all these extracurricular activities that just rain, and people are wasted. I mean, they're drinking heavily, 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 you know, that the stuff you guys have seen at NASC, like at Michigan and stuff like that, right? When we went with my dad there, you know, that one bus that was converted to a NASCAR rig, you know, they had their own porta potty with their beer cans set up like a carpet leading into the porta potty. I mean, this is exactly how it was also back then at Pocono.
The dude had the rake, like in the morning.
He was cleaning them up. Yeah,
raking his cans.
But people were drinking heavily. They were getting in their cars, right, and they were driving around because it's like a road course on the infield of Pocono, right? There's some wide roads in there, okay. And they're going mud pit to mud pit, basically, and they're wheeling in minivans, cars, trucks, SUVs, and they're doing donuts, and they're hanging out the car with beers and people in the back of the truck, and they're just having a freaking grand old time. And I have vivid memories of security getting involved, driving into these mud pits, opening the car doors of these people and ripping them out, like ripping them out of the car and slamming them in the mud and taking them away, you know. Or there'd That's be like
amazing.
Or like someone would come in, there'd be like a lookout guy, right? You know, other spectator on top of an RV, and they'd be waving a guy on to come do a couple donuts, and then you could see the security guard coming in another car, and then they'd be, you know, they'd be like, "Get out of here, get out of here," you know, they'd be like telling them to get move along, hit the next one.
Pizza boy, yeah.
It was great. I mean, it was awesome, and I really think that's, you know, as you guys know, that's why, you know, all the other stuff that goes on in NASCAR, you know, and people ask me about like why I like it so much. It's that part of it. You know, that was definitely reckless. Like, don't get me wrong. That's 100% reckless, but it's cool. It's cool at the same time.
I can't imagine being that young and being experienced like that and being like, this is all I want to do with my life from now on. Like, might exactly be much different than it is today.
I mean, it isn't what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't get that impression from it, but, you know, me and my cousin, we were just laughing and having a good time, you know, so it just made me want to go again. And as the years went on, right, that stuff slowed down, not as many people there. So you couldn't get away with that kind of stuff, you know, but you still see some things, you know, you still see some things go on. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, you're right, man. Just time changes all, right? So
yep. The last experience at Pocono for me, Matt, I think you were there.
I was.
And so I was, that was with the newer rig.
The newer
when
rig.
When was this when you guys went to Pocono? Because I didn't go.
2015.
Is that when it was? Is that the year? We were home. I was already moved back. I know that.
Yeah, I was back for some reason. Was I in New York? I might have been in New York.
15. I think you were living in New York by then. You would have, because when I moved back, you were
going out. That's right.
In the process of going out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That
so
makes
you
sense.
Would have been. Because we did Richmond all around the same time. That was
Richmond's wild.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But the reason I know it's 15 because Truex won his, he won a cup race with Furniture Row, his first one with Furniture Row in 15 at Pocono. But the one we weren't at, the other one.
Yeah, did we go to the first? Did we go to the June race or the August or the July race?
Went to the June race.
Did we? Okay.
That's the problem because I have a picture of the Chevy SS with the 78 riding around, and I'm like, yep, could have been it. You know, could have been it. Could have been the race winner. You know, but it's not. It wasn't.
Pocono turns into a, you know, like history for me. It always rains at some point in time. I mean, that's just part of it there. Like I said, like we were always in turn one because that's kind of the higher part of the infield. So if you find the right spot with your RV, you know, you can get a pretty good view of the track as long as they're not hugging the bottom of the line. You know, if they're riding high, you can see a lot of them. But,
now, so Adam, you mentioned that this rig, this Winnebago, this Pace Arrow was,
yeah,
tried and true and a trusty companion on a lot of trips. But the stories I heard, this thing barely made it back from the track most times.
Oh yeah, so let's back up. Yeah, so there was plenty of times where I didn't attend with my dad and, you know, a lot of his NASCAR friends, it became a yearly ritual.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so there was one particular instance. This would have been, it was either the end of high school or just in the very beginning of college. And I get a phone call. Jenna and I were somewhere with some other people that day. And like, I want to say we went to Six Flags there in Jersey for some reason.
Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, down in Jackson.
You wanted a fun place to go. What do you mean for some reason? Great place.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time. So we on our way home, it's the end of the day. It's like dinner time, maybe a little later. Yeah, it's later. It's probably 6 or 7 o'clock. And I get a phone call from my dad. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. You know, I know he's at the race. So I answered it, and he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
He's like, we're on the side of the road, and I had pulled over. Someone had to go, like, they're just outside the track. So just, yeah, so when you're leaving Pocono, when it's full, so it's going to be like that this weekend, at the end of the day, when the infield lets out, I mean, it's all lanes lead out. There's no lanes coming in. That's the only effective way to move that type amount of people out of that area. Just the roads don't work.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
So they go out of the tunnel turn, and you can turn right, and you can kind of get, it's like a back way. It's kind of like a back way out a little bit through some windy roads, but they utilize both sides of the roads to get out. And then they use the shoulder actually for like teams and track personnel that are leaving to get the hell out of Dodge. So he pulls over for some reason, shuts it off. First, I don't know what they were doing, but it wouldn't restart, which was a habitual problem for this thing, even on these reliable trips that you know, I was describing early on. Because there was a time in South Carolina where I'm in the driver's seat. I'm definitely not 10 years old at this point, and my dad's underneath banging on the starter with a hammer, and I'm pumping the gas pedal and, you know, turning the ignition, you know. And then that's when I learned about trying to start a car.
Oh my God.
The lesson.
But,
yes.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you know, this is the situation. And, you know, I don't have anything. And they're all kind of like, you know, way more to drink. You know, everyone's had way more to drink than they need to, you know, probably even my dad at that point. But, he's like, can you think you can come pick us up? And I'm like, well, come pick us up, like, how many's us, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, of course, right? I can drive up there, you know. I just gotta drop some people off, and then I can come. He's like, well, you know, there's 8 of us or something like that. So he's like, you're gonna need to go to the dealership, and you're gonna need to get one of the vans. And I'm like, okay, you know. So I'm like, well, let's hope this works, right? Like, I go to the dealership, you know, turn the alarm off, go inside, find a rental van. You'll find one of the loaner vans, because they were vans, you know, town and countries back then. I get the loaner van.
Slide. Yeah. Vans. Oh, yeah.
Get the loaner van. And I think my friend actually came with me, because I'm like, you want to ride along? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. So rode along. We roll up the turnpike, right? We get all the way, and there they are, you know, all 8 of them just still drinking on the side of the road. Here's the RV. So we get, you know, we get in the van, and everyone's like, you know, it's time to go to Wawa. You know, they're all
chauffeur. Now you're the chauffeur.
Now I'm the chauffeur. We hit the Wawa there at 80 and 476. Oh, you know, you guys exactly. Are probably familiar with that one.
Wawa.
Hit that. Head home to the dealership. That's where everybody's parked. That's like the meetup place, right? So everybody gets in their rigs. They go home, take my dad home. And so I'm working at the dealership. It's summertime. It's summertime, of course. And so we're not in school. So I'm working at the dealership. Monday, he comes out to the shop, and he's like, yeah, I found someone to tow it. found someone to tow it, and you know, they can drive, they can bring it all the way back here. You know, so this is 77 pace Sarah. It's like 30 feet long, right? It's big, big man with jamming. I'm like, well, how much does it cost? And he's like, $1,400.
Yep.
He's like, I don't think it's that bad. I'm like, well, I mean, it's huge, so I guess not. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
How many miles do you think that is from where it was to where to the dealer?
Scenario.
How many miles, Brent?
Do you think that probably would have been?
50. I mean, 50.
Yeah, that's a good price.
Yeah, it is, because so I mean, right? Like, so like being a dealership, we got a relationship with a local towing company. You know, so good old Jeff's Towing. You know, he's got all kinds of rigs. You know, heads on up. Gave him the call.
Send the rotator out,
Yo, got the big girl and brings her home, and we had one technician, you know, who for some reason took a liking to this RV and kind of became my dad's personal mechanic for this thing over the years. Good guy.
440 big block, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Just talking about the good old days, you know. I remember when these things, they put them in the Challengers, the Chargers.
Yeah, this guy definitely had the stories from back in the day. He was old school mechanic, but like, I think he might even still be working there today.
That's amazing.
But he's like a trans wizard. Like even on new stuff, like he's figured shit out. But anyway, he's kind of the guy who worked on this thing and had the balls to put an inspection sticker on it every year.
The balls. Inspection.
It got kind of sketchy one year, right? Because some of the body wasn't there anymore?
Oh, yeah. So, right. So, the big problem with the starting, this is when it finally got figured out. So, the ignition module on this thing was the thing that always shit the bed. I mean, like, every year. So, once they figured that out, there was always a spare. Right?
Oh,
it was buy two at a time. Buy two at a time. One goes in, one stays handy. And this issue happened again. And that's when it really got only designated for Pocono use. Like, this was the only reason why it would go out, aside from my dad just taking a stroll around town in his RV, which he does from time to time. But, so it wouldn't restart, throw another ignition module in it, would fire up instantly every single time. So that would solve the starting issues. The other major problem with this thing was definitely... you know, body rot, as you would call on a vehicle today. But I described this paneling that it used to have, right, on the exterior. Well, on the interior of that, you know, back in the 70s, the only thing that the walls were made of were wood.
They still do this, by the way.
They still do this. Better. No. Yeah, it's a thing. So, like, I described the bowing of the roof earlier, right, around both air conditioners. Well, what happens when water sits in there? It needs a place to go, right?
It sure does. So
it would come in the air conditioners. It would leak on the shag carpet. It would go down the walls, all this stuff. So eventually it would start to rot out. Well, it also acquired termite damage over the years. And there was a period of time where, like, we were woodworkers.
Termite damage. Carpenters, per se.
Yeah, we were carpenters, right? Yeah, right, we were carpenters. Repairing this thing, limping it around. At one point, the bathroom toilet became unusable, and now that shag carpet in the bathroom was very wet. So it met its demise eventually there, not too far before he acquired the newer one. I believe he sold it for $6,000. I think that was the deal.
What? Wait a second. Someone bought that thing?
Yeah, man.
I just thought it just returned to the earth in the form of, you know, American Tower. Probably the engine's probably worth, what, $2,000, $3,000 by itself?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The guy seemed like he was going to fix it, my dad said. Like, some of the water damage got extensive at that point. And it's not that it couldn't be fixed. I mean, it certainly could be fixed, but, you know, the amount of time. Certainly a hell of a lot, but it was big. It was huge. The thing was big. You know, you know, strip that thing out, and I mean, it's, you know, half a basketball court in there.
Awesome.
This little pine. What did you guys use? This hardwood?
I remember when it sold, you know, all the techs at the dealership, because that's where it lived, right? It lived at the dealership. I mean, that's just the way it was. You know, it was like a send-off party. They were just like, see you later.
Like,
salute. I'll never see you again. Yeah. I think everybody was pretty excited. And then when he got the newer one, the 97 Disco, you know, that was on an actual Freightliner chassis and all that, that was like, okay, we don't work on those. See ya.
Oh, sorry.
I kind of ran away with that story, I feel like. But
Adam, it's a story that, like, I unfortunately never had the opportunity to ride in the Arrow, but the Disco and I are friends. We had some memories.
Yeah.
To the point where Britt was actually replacing fuses at a race, if I remember right, trying to fix it.
Yeah, we needed to get the high quality, like, 14-inch television in the Disco to work, and it wouldn't turn on. And I determined that the small, and maybe that was a, maybe, you know what, that may have been a 12-volt TV. But the power, it had no power.
Yeah.
So I found that the this was a diesel pusher. And underneath the nose, you had the Onan generator that ran on natural gas. And then below the base of the windshield, there was this sort of a header panel, pretty decent size. And that thing would pop up. And your dad, hey, yeah, there's this panel in the front. There's all kinds of electrical over here. And big honking fuse panel. So I go through it and find that this fuse is blown. And there were no spares. We didn't have any spares. So I'm like, all right, we gotta salvage something here. So I pulled the wiper motor fuse out and stuck it in the TV fuse for the duration of the race. And then when we were done, we just hopped it back over and hit the road. You know, had to make it work.
No problem at all. That works fine.
That was such a good story. Do you remember also the power steps on that thing? Because that was an infamous issue. Was the power steps had to be unplugged, otherwise they would just be going like this, going down the road, ding, 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 ding. Do you remember that? Do you remember it had to be unplugged?
I don't remember that, but that's amazing.
I was ever being confused why it was happening, but then just accepted that this was the reality of the situation.
Yeah, so you just had to, like, time the unplug, like, with the up position. And when you got under there, you had to be very careful that that thing wasn't going to pin you against the ground when it comes down. Because, like, it came down with, like, some serious force, you know what I mean? But the other part of that is the air horn was right there. So it was common for you to crawl under there, plug that bad girl in, and my dad did just the little blip of the horn. Just blow your eardrums out.
Oh my! You knew it was coming too. That's the worst kind, right? When you know it's coming, you're like, "This is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. This is not going to be good."
I would just, whoever would go under there, I just remember he'd just kind of look at whoever else is in the coach and just be like, "Watch this, you know, I'm gonna get him." But yeah, good rig.
Good rig.
That was a fun rig. That was a fun rig too, but. I was at Pocono in 2015 with that, like you were with Matt there. We rode in the back all the way up and back. Had ice cream, you know?
We did. Oh my God. That and the Richmond trip blends together for me. And I know
it was all around the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Your father was yelling at you to stay awake in the front the whole time.
Yeah. At midnight. We left at like midnight or maybe 1 a.m. Got a fresh soft pretzel from the Wawa, I remember. Fresh off the truck. Wawa.
Sure do. Give me a soft pretzel. Yep. Remember those nights. Yep.
But anyway, so Pocono, famous in the racing world, right? Right? Tricky triangle. What turn four?
Yep. Big. They like that. They have fun with that.
It's a thing. So you've never been, Brent, right? Yeah.
I drove by it going to like a vacation house up that way in Long Pond, Pennsylvania.
Long Pond, Pennsylvania,
baby. Yep. That's right.
Exactly where the track is, really. So
that's the town, yep. Technically. Oh, yeah.
Long Pond. What would you name this place? Well, it's got a Long Pond in it. Let's stick with that. Long Pond. and it, unlike normal Pennsylvania, they didn't put a veil at the end, you know? Long Pondville. That would be kind of be more...
Long Pondville? Yeah, that would be more Pennsylvania-like, for sure.
Long Pond.
But yeah, it's a interesting track. I think about, like, what's the strategy there? I may have only physically watched on TV one race in my entire life there, like, and bits and pieces of it. The rest is track experience, and up until the last few years, and that might have been my first time when Matt went with us that I actually wear radio. Otherwise, I probably didn't even wear earplugs. I mean, you know, safety wasn't a thing. Yeah. Like,
we're there for the
so like, I couldn't tell, like, I don't feel like I could tell you, like, what's the strategy of Pocono? Like, if I'm a team, like, you know, I know, obviously the straightaway is like super long. So, you know, you're pretty lit coming into turn one, and that's where things seem to get a little hectic, at times. The turn two over the tunnel there at the top of the triangle is definitely a difficult turn, because that part of leading in and the backstretch leading into that is really long too. And it kind of comes out of nowhere. It's hard to judge.
Yeah, that track was designed with different tracks around the Northeast in mind, right? So that they kind of based it on a couple tracks. Like, I think turn three is the old either Trenton or Flemington Raceway style turn.
Like the banking and like,
Kind
of stuff.
All turns, they're all different, right? And that's the problem. That's what the teams hate, because what are you going to do? Oh yeah, we're bad in one and two, but we're good in three and four. Now here it's like, oh, we're good in one, and we're trash in the other two corners, you know? So you kind of aim for a middle there, and the drivers hate it, but you know, when they hate it, that just leads to good racing. So
I do remember over the years, numerous times when it became a fuel economy issue.
Yeah. Yep.
At the end of Pocono, it just always seemed like who's running out of fuel and who's gonna make it. Always a late race caution. Rain has played a factor typically, like I said earlier. I've never been to one where they've not finished a race. I think when we were there in 2015, was that when Keselowski had pit road issues and he came flying down pit road and smacked into the wall?
And at the end of the race, Sands, you remember when they were all running out of fuel?
Yep.
We were sitting there off of one, just hearing them go, burr, 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 burr. We're like, no! Yeah. And I remember, because it was Logano and Truex running up front, right? And you had your Logano shirt on, and I had a Truex shirt on, and they were both running, and then they both ran out of fuel. And some dude with a was it Kenseth? Kenseth won that race, didn't he? Or Harvick?
Kenseth or Harvick, yeah.
And the guy comes walking over, he goes, missed it on the fuel, huh? Shirt on, like, you know, all pissed off and everything. But yeah.
Yep.
That was fun, though. And like, it was cool being there and like hearing them just start puttering, you know, start spitting. We're like, oh no. And then the radio, like, oh, slow down the backstretch, running out of fuel, coasting. We're like, no, damn it, no.
Yeah, because we had her parked, right? We had her parked long ways back from the fence, but pretty close at where it's coming out of turn one, right? And it's, you know, track's not flat right there, but yeah, you can get all that as they come out of one.
Yeah, it was cool. That was very cool.
Spot. But I don't know what to say, you know, as far as like strategy and things like that. I don't have I don't really have any experience with that.
Fuels, bud.
It's all about the fuels, yeah, I guess.
About the fuels and pick, try to get two corners that you're good at, because you're not going to get all three. So if you get two corners in the race, so.
So the big thing though, right, is Pocono lost its second weekend to all these changes. So, you know, first time I feel like maybe in NASCAR situation here. I think it was supposed to happen last weekend or last year. Did they do?
They didn't run Pocono.
They didn't run Pocono. I think they got nixed. So they are running two cup races, Saturday and Sunday. It's a doubleheader. And Saturday it's cup and trucks. Or Cup and Xfinity. one or the other. And then Sunday it's Cup and whichever one doesn't run on Saturday with them. So it's two races each day.
That'll be good listening for me, buddy. I'll be in the car. So
I think it starts early. I think
better.
Yeah, I think it does. And on Sunday, I want to say that I think the Cup race is first. Like, I think
that is strange. Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's going to be a great weekend for those fans, man.
The camping, that's why it doesn't surprise me almost. And I know that's one of the things that they were probably hoping that could benefit from this. I mean, I don't know about infield, but you could get a camping ticket for the entire weekend for $45.
Can't beat that.
I mean, infield wise, you know, it's probably more expensive, but the infield's huge. I mean, it's it's massive. Yeah. So the infield ticket for both days, you know, 100 to 150 probably for a dry site for sure.
Dude, that's awesome. But
four races, you're getting four races for $150. I mean,
no one can complain about that. That's but yeah, I think they're doing the right thing. I think they're kind of making it special, right? And kind of what Bristol's been doing with their crazy stuff in the dirt. You just got to make it special. And bringing the fans out, man. I think coming out of COVID too is helping. So all that together leads to a first time in 50 years sellout, man. So
yeah. I can see them doing some, you know, if they need to adapt, they can do some road course stuff here. They can do a Roval type deal where they're utilizing portion of the track and then in the infield for sure.
Dude, that would be so fast there.
Be cool. The noise that gets generated on the front stretch on a restart is there. Talladega was cool because you had that aspect of like when they hit the, you know, Geico restart zone and everybody gets on the throttle and you can just hear that roar. But where we were always in the infield, you couldn't see that happening, right? Like, so you just all of a sudden you get this massive roar of 40 cars and they come down into turn one, right? And they're just blowing by you. And just that noise that like Brent describes from his first experience, you know, it was all of that. It was all the noise there.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, that's a cool place, bud. Really cool place, doubleheader weekend, and it's going to be good, man. I'm happy for those fans.
So who you got?
Oh, bud, yeah, this is a toss-up, but it's going to be a Chevrolet.
Think so?
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. I haven't been good recently, so, you know, maybe it's their time to break out, but.
So I have a proposal.
Let's hear it.
We switch this up a little bit, okay? First driver, who's your first driver to finish behind Kyle Larson? That's what I feel like that's where we got to go with this, you know? And it can be anybody. Forget the dark horse situation. It can be anybody. And then a care center. So pick, you know, best driver to finish not named Kyle Larson and then a care center.
Okay, I'm going to take Ross Chastain to be the second place driver.
Oh, Melon, man. Maybe he'll go on tear.
We're smashing melons. And my care center is going to be it's been a while. Ricky's going to forget how to run the tricky triangle. So.
Ah, some bitch.
Oh, Ricky, yeah. House. Oh, Ricky.
Ready. So all there's right. My two picks. I like it. I like your strategy. The second place finish.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's pretty good.
Who you got, Brent?
Well, after Kyle Larson, I'm still wrapping my brain around that. That's kind of funny. That is kind of funny.
Well, hold on. So there's two races though.
Oh gosh, stop.
Now we're really are we just going with these picks for both races, or are you gonna?
I'm gonna double down.
Because remember what I mentioned in the text, right? There is there's no qualifying. Okay. So for the Saturday race, so the way that they're doing Sunday's race is the top 20 finishers from Saturday's race are being inverted for the start of the Sunday race. So everybody 21 through 40 is, you know, that's where they start based on their previous finish. But the top 20 get inverted for Sunday.
It's because so I was inverted.
They're using the math. They're using the witchcraft math for Saturday.
Yep, Larson, no surprise there on right. the poll. Larson won the poll. What did he win? No. Witchcrafts gave him the win.
My gosh. Yeah, that's
you, I guess you can double down if you want. You know, that's fine.
I'm not now with the wreck, though. I am going to change my wreck because the chance of you wrecking twice is pretty rare. Now, okay, not impossible. Fair. Not impossible, but yeah. I say it's going to be Ryan Newman.
Ooh.
Ryan Newman for my second care center pick. Now, doesn't matter which day. I don't know. We'll just.
I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to. Yeah, I don't think you have to specify. You can be vague. Okay. Doesn't matter. So your Ross Chastain is best finisher behind Kyle Larson both days.
Yes.
And then either or Ricky or Ryan for care center.
That is correct.
I've seen Newman hit the wall here before, so that's fair.
I hate to say it, but he's due. He's been putting around for a while, so.
He's been putting around. Oh, that's great.
It's terrible. All right. Brent, what do you got, bud? I'll let you go next. Adam's got a new game we're playing.
Yep. This game has messed with my head. Well, the two races mess with my head. I'm gonna put Mr. Blaney behind
not a bad call.
Larson. Yeah, just
gotta bring the Fords back, huh?
Yeah, we'll bring some Fords back. So we'll throw Mr. Blaney under the bus.
Why is he going under the bus?
I don't know. No, we'll put him in number two.
He's coming in. He's still going to finish right. You know, Larson's got to get him back for Atlanta, right?
ATL.
Right. For my care center, I'm gonna put another Ford in the care center, and it's gonna be Mr. Almirola.
Good call. Good
yeah. call.
You know. He does some bonehead shit sometimes. He's like feast or famine, you know?
Yes.
I haven't heard much from him since he whacked the wall at Dover there, and he, like, cringed getting out of the car, like, knocked the wind out of him.
He won, didn't he? On the All-Star race?
Didn't he win the fake one? The fake one in the beginning? The fake race?
I think he won one of the fake races. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
And for my dark horse, you guys are not.
No dark horses. Two care centers. No dark horses
today. So two care centers? Okay.
Yep.
My second care center. Why not? We'll put him in the care center. Mr. LaJoy.
All right.
Okay, Adam. Right. Ball's your court.
I think I can't go away from a Hendrick car at this point. The finish just behind him. If I'm going to pick any of the three, it's going to be Byron.
Okay. You think Willie B gets it done?
Yeah, I thought about that.
I think he'll come in second. Let's just put it that way.
I don't think he likes being called Willie B, by the way. This is my personal. I don't think so either. Clint's up there going, Willie B. I don't think he appreciates
it. I hope in all the changes that are going on, right, with Gordon leaving the booth, I hope that they don't try to make Clint into something he's not.
I think it's impossible.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't need to give him more prominent speaking roles. Like, it's... We don't need dissertations from Clint Boyer. Like, we need what Clint Boyer does, right? They don't get somebody else who wants to talk a lot and explain things in there. Don't give that role to Clint.
Explain?
Explain. Yeah,
okay.
Explain. Yeah.
Let me explain that to you. Explain.
All right, so I got Willie B. So I need two care center picks.
You do. Or two winners.
Two winners.
No, I don't. Whatever.
Like complicated.
Yeah. This is tough. Cody's back in the car this week.
How did he do it? Did anybody check that?
No idea. Somebody research that quick. Somebody research while I try to figure this out. Can you do that, Matt?
I can. Yes.
I wish I would have looked some stuff up a little bit, but I don't like Erik Jones this week. I don't really have anything to say why I don't like Erik Jones this week. I just he'll stuff it. Let's just say that.
That's okay. I mean, that's how I do it pretty much every week. So,
yeah. And another guy I'm going to stick in there is Christopher Bell. I feel like he's lost. You haven't heard much from him, right?
Well, he's in a what car? He's in a Stewart Haas, right?
No, he's in a Gibbs car. He's Truex's teammate.
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Chase Briscoe.
I'm thinking of Chase Briscoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good pick, though, man. He's in that that infamous last Gibbs car, you know, the Erik Jones mobile.
Right, but he's got to win, so.
he's in.
But yeah.
Where was Indy last week? Let me see.
They were at Road America.
Okay.
Yeah, Road America, because they were. It was Detroit. It was the 500 in Indy, and then it was Detroit, and then. Road America.
Yeah. All right, let's see the standings. Oh, the Rev Group. Well, oh. Big RV manufacturers, big ambulance manufacturers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Know all about the Rev Group. We're good friends.
So they're in bed with losers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah. Jesus. All right, let's see. Why is it showing me no track activity? Yeah, because the race was last week. What is going on? I don't want to read an article about the winner. NTT IndyCar Series. Who owns that? They got to get their shit together.
Roger.
Yeah. His website's miserable. Like, literally, I can't find it.
I think he's got people. He's got people, you know? He's got people.
Let's see. Results. Let's try that. Results. Okay. Paliu wins. Okay, great. I don't want to read an article. Show me where everybody else finished. See if NBC did a good job. Okay. Yeah. Okay, here we go. All right. I found it, boys. Cody Ware finished 19th out of 25 cars.
Oh, not good.
Driving a Honda, no less.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So he didn't run away with it.
Uh oh. I got something to report, gentlemen.
Oh.
You ready for this?
Okay. Better. Do I need to finish my drink first? Hold on.
Oh, you might. This is going to be bad. Yeah. Are you ready?
Hit me.
He finished higher than Jimmy Johnson.
Whoa.
Let that sink in.
What happened?
What, Jimmy? Yeah. Jimmy's not good.
You wash your mouth out with soap.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I didn't really mean that. I just.
Has he lit the indie world on fire? No. But he might figure it out. But
yeah, I should have stayed in that Hendrick car, eh?
Should have, you know.
just ride the wave.
He didn't get any of the – he must have stopped getting all the tricks, you know. He wasn't getting the tricks no more. That's why he wasn't winning, so.
Was Tricks' contract expired?
When Lowe's drops, that should have been it, you know. Yeah. Take the hint, bud.
Yeah.
Take the hint. But, yeah, it'll be a good race. It'll be a good race weekend. Do we have – got anything else for the wrap-up here, or you think we're
I don't know. So what's everybody up to this weekend? What are you guys doing?
I'm headed to Jersey on Saturday, and I'll be in the area for 2 weeks, and then I'm making a stop at the Sands residence on my way out. So,
woo! We're going to the track, right?
We sure are, 100%.
All right. Well, I told Jenna tonight we're going, and it's only the two regular series, so there isn't going to be much people there, and it isn't going to be extremely long. So,
all that, and that's when the fights happen, when it's the locals, you know.
Yeah.
I'm leaving on each other.
Hopefully we'll see. Smack talk. You can, so it'll be like it's $15 when it's just the two series to get in. If you want to go in the pits, which we could, I think it's an extra 15 or 20.
Oh my God. Yeah. We'll be living high on the hog, bud. I want all the passes, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't rain. If it rains, game over.
Game over. You're seeing Lars this weekend though, aren't you?
So him and Christopher Bell are confirmed for, so this coming week is PA Speed Weeks. And Larson is running the whole week through the circuit.
It's mine.
So yeah, they're running the 410 sprint cars this week Tuesday night. So yeah, my stepdad and I are going to go, and gates probably open at 5:30, so I'm working from home that day, so my plan is to I might just go over there. I don't know. I'm kind of, it's going to be packed. I know it is. I wouldn't see why not. I mean, you know, Larson, you know, with everything that's gone on, and I feel like he has somewhat bridged the gap between like NASCAR fans. He's made NASCAR fans dirt fans in a sense, and he's made dirt fans NASCAR fans. Like, there's some bridging of the gap here going on.
Awesome. At the same time, I never paid attention to it. I could care less about dirt, and now I'm find myself more and more interested. So,
yeah.
By the way, Sands, you got to get there early. It's because Larson drives his rig in. So apparently, he's been drives the RV. So
really,
that's awesome.
He's gonna drive right by my house or what? Stop in for a beer?
Pull up. Maybe. Be like cheaters, welcome this way, you know? No, don't do that. It's not fair.
Cheaters. Yeah.
No, but dude, he's shit.
I'm excited for that, but I think so what I say it was for that Saturday night that we'll go is $15. I wanna say the ticket price for Sunday night or Tuesday night's probably 45 or 50.
Larson tax on that one, or
yeah. Well, the weekday shows and when there's the bigger series are in town, yeah, the price goes up. So
it's just like the circus is coming to town. Same thing, you know.
Yep. I mean, it's gonna be loud. It's gonna be loud. I mean, it's gonna rattle the house here.
Happy? They ain't gonna be happy.
No. Someone will be complaining about it, I'm sure. That's all right. But I'll just be there. If you can't beat them, join them. I mean, that's the way it goes. But anyway. Amazing. All right, boys.
We'll keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Adam, good luck dirt racing. And let's go up to Poconos. Go pick up a snowblower up there in the Poconos.
The Poconos. All right, boys.
Peace.
Have a great one.